Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
Oh, number one, there was a shooting at Safeway, and I do believe Gabby is just was hit. The guy, it looked like the guy had a semi-automatic pistol, and he went in, he just started firing, and then he ran.
At about 10 minutes after 10, a gunman approached and started shooting. Congresswoman Giffords was shot once in the head. We have six victims who are deceased. Two brave individuals at this crime scene tackled the suspect, who is a white male, 22 years old. There's reason to believe that this individual may have a mental issue.
The congresswoman is not deceased. The neurosurgeons have finished operating on her, and I can tell you at the current time period, I'm very optimistic about recovery.
This is more than a tragedy for those involved. It is a tragedy for Arizona and a tragedy for our entire country.
I think it's important for people to be at the vigil just to give send love and prayers to the families that were affected today. This isn't what we want in this country.
All right. Very somber way to start the show today. My name's Tom. Right alongside me, as usual, is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm well. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. We're going to go ahead and honor the moment of silence here with the balance to honor the victims of the Tucson shootings. So we're going to go ahead and take a moment of silence, and we'll be back right after this. Okay, welcome back. We were just taking a moment of silence to remember those who died in the Tucson tragedy. 9-year-old Christina Taylor Green, who loved ballet and was an aspiring politician, was the daughter of a Los Angeles Dodger scout and a granddaughter of a former manager of the Phillies, Dallas Green. Also, 63-year-old Chief Federal Judge John Roll, who was appointed to the bench in 1991 by former President George W. Bush. 76-year-old Dorothy Morris, who was full of life, left her husband behind, George, who is reportedly still in critical condition. 79-year-old Phyllis Schenck, who reportedly lived part-time in New Jersey and spent the winters in Arizona. 30-year-old Gabe Zimmerman, staffer of Congresswoman Gabriella Giffords, sadly also lost his life in the senseless shooting. He was her community outreach director. Also, 76-year-old Dorman Stoddart, who reportedly lived close to the Safeway grocery store where the carnage happened and was fatally shot. We take a moment to pay tribute and homage to those that lost their lives. This needless shooting that happened, and also we pray for the fast and speedy recovery of Congresswoman Giffords. This is the wrap up, and we do this every day. So we're going to go ahead and take a moment to gather our thoughts, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. Again, we honor the victims of the Tucson shooting.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance, to the wrap-up. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, what a weekend for sports, and a very tragic weekend. During this whole show, we pay tribute to the victims of the Tucson shooting, and this show is totally 100% dedicated to them. Josh, real quickly, what are your thoughts on that? And then we'll right after that, we'll go ahead and move into second guests on the NFL. But go ahead.
Without getting too political, it was a senseless act by, like Barack Obama said, a cowardly American. I'm going to leave
right.
it at that.
Right. I totally agree. Again, this isn't a show about politics. We're a show about sports, so we're a little bit more upbeat, but we do want to take time to say that it was a needless act. It didn't need to happen, and it's just another sign of sad events in our society. Well, speaking of sad events, we all know that the Indianapolis Colts lost to the New York Jets. And the Chiefs lost also as well. So thanks to our friends over at Fox Sports. We've got a sound bite of them talking about the second guesses that could have been and what maybe should have been. And, Josh, we'll be right back after this sound clip to talk about the NFL this weekend.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Weber with an AFC edition of Second Guesses brought to you by Old Spice, the greatest smell in the NFL. I'm pleased to be joined by FoxSports.com's football analyst, Eric Kramer. Okay, let's start with the playoff game between the Jets and the Colts. Indy head coach Jim Caldwell called a timeout with 26 seconds left in the game. Jets were driving for a field goal, which they made to win it. What was he thinking?
Yeah, maybe he wanted to extend the season by 30 seconds. I don't know. He wasn't going to gain anything out of it. I mean, the Jets still had a timeout if they wanted to use it. Really, it just gave them a free moment to catch their breath and maybe throw the ball down the field. Maybe they weren't going to do that originally. Maybe they're going to kick the longer field goal. Maybe he sealed their fate by doing that, negatively. I don't know. But ultimately, I don't think it had much bearing over everything, but it sure was curious at the moment.
Yeah, real puzzling. And Peyton Manning gave him one thing, huh? How come, though big picture, the Colts weren't able to get Reggie Wayne more involved? Their leading receiver only had one grab in this game.
That's the bigger head-scratcher to me, is why they never went over. I know Darrell Revis is a great cornerback, but they showed a few times in the game where he actually beat Darrell Revis. And Peyton Manning, I think it really speaks to maybe he's lost confidence. As the season went on, it looked to me like Reggie Wayne had maybe lost a step, got banged up a little bit. He just didn't look like the downfield threat and the go-to guy he'd once been for Peyton Manning. Coming into the next season, that's got to make some people there in Indy think.
Okay, let's talk about the other AFC wildcard matchup at the end of Baltimore's big win over Kansas City. Chiefs players got a little bit rough trying to take some cheap shots that looked like some extracurriculars to take Baltimore out of the game. What'd you think of that move?
Got a little bit rough.
Well,
I don't know. It's football, right?
I mean, I know, but it seemed
you're in a playoff game. You're at home. You're getting embarrassed. Of course it's poor sportsmanship. Hopefully those guys look back at that game. I know as an organization – the Kansas City Chiefs and Todd Haley and the whole front office and the coaching staff, they're not proud of it. That's not how they coach. That's not how they want to be represented. That's not how the city wants to be represented. They want to go out fighting the good fight within the rules of the game and playing as hard as they can. If you can't do it in that scope, you know, don't take it outside the lines. But obviously, guys are young. They get their tempers flared up,
right,
and things happen.
As you said, Kansas City, a very young team. Perhaps this was a learning experience. As always, we appreciate your stage insights. Remember, FoxSports.com has you covered for all your NFL playoff needs. For Eric, I'm Brian. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks to our friends over there at Fox Sports for providing us a look at the second guest. Josh, do you agree with their second guesses? What are your thoughts on the NFL this weekend and going forward in the NFL this week?
Well, since this is already a somber show and this is a sports talk show, on behalf of Tom and everyone else on staff at The Balance, our thoughts are with the Reed family. He didn't need to play yesterday. He did go ahead and play. His family's holding out hope that they can find his missing brother, but odds are he drowned in the Mississippi River on Friday trying to avoid being arrested. So our thoughts and prayers go out to the Reed family as well.
I agree 100%. Thanks for mentioning that. And like I said, we are dedicating this show 100% to the victims of the Tucson shooting. And we'll try to be as upbeat as possible, as that's what we do here. We talk sports, and we bring you and we wrap you up every day here on what has happened in the last 24 hours of sports. So, Josh, walk us through the NFL this weekend. You know, give us the pros, the cons, and what do we have to look forward to?
Well, about the Colts-Jets game yesterday, I was kind of disappointed. Now that I'm getting close to 36 hours removed, I'm not really that disappointed. I'm proud of the Colts, but an awesome accomplishment. Just wait till next year when we're healthy. We should be a Super Bowl contender. I didn't get a chance to see much of the Jets, the Chiefs-Ravens game. It was a blowout a little bit. I did see it. There was, I don't know what happened to the Chiefs. I know that's not the way Todd Haley coaches, to do fist fighting and all that stuff. Certainly not one of the finer moments in Chiefs team history. I just do want to take this moment to say that I did say Baltimore would blow out Kansas City.
Well, we both got some right, didn't we? I kind of missed out on that one, didn't I? I kind of thought it would be a lot closer game, though.
The Packers looked dangerous. They their key to beating the Eagles yesterday was they made Mike Vick, a non-factor, in reports this morning out of Philadelphia, say based on that, the Eagles may be inclined not to re-sign Michael Vick because they're not impressed with the way he played yesterday. Aaron Rodgers took a step, a baby step, but a step out of Brett Favre's shadow.
Well, here's the thing. I want to talk a little bit about Michael Vick here. Michael Vick, The thing is with Michael Vick, he's going to have to get signed somewhere. He's going to get signed somewhere. He's going to get that big contract in. And with the collective bargaining agreement on the hinge, it's going to be hard for them to make a trade. So what I am going to tell you is it's probably going to be a situation where they're going to try to keep him, maybe put a franchise tag on him for a year. And then we'll see what happens. But it's just going to be very difficult for them to unload him before that collective bargaining agreement is signed. We don't know when that'll be, hopefully sooner than later. So I will say at the moment that Michael Vick's job is safe with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, as far as Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, he probably is completely tired of being compared to Brett Favre. I think he's filled his own shoes and starting to develop his own legacy. So as far as a baby step into Brett Favre's shadow, Josh, I'm going to have to agree on that. He's making his own legacy. He's doing his own thing. Brett Favre is no longer a part of the Packers organization. Just like many teams have had great players. I mean, obviously the Colts had Johnny Unitas, and now they have Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is not Johnny Unitas. So what I would tell everyone is that let Aaron Rodgers develop his own legacy.
I would certainly agree. I'm not going to compare him to Brett Favre. He's finally won a playoff game. There's no reason to think the Packers can't go into Atlanta and win on Saturday night. It'll certainly be a tall task, but there's absolutely no reason why they can't do it. And if they can do it, then Aaron Rodgers' legacy will continue to grow. The farther he takes him into the playoffs, the more and more he'll be the legacy, the quarterback in Green Bay, and he won't have to hear about Brett Favre anymore.
No, I agree. And once he wins the big game per se, it'll all probably go behind him. So let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs and the Ravens. What kind of a game was that? And then of course the big game of the day was the Seahawks and the Saints. That was the big game of the weekend, and everyone could say that Seahawks certainly handed it to the Saints and gave them the blindside. Now they move forward to play the Bears, which is a very tough team. So, Josh, what were your thoughts on the Saints and the Seahawks and the Chiefs and the Ravens?
I'd like to congratulate the Seattle Seahawks, but there should be an asterisk. I don't know if you saw Marshawn Lynch's 64-yard run. There was at least three blocks in the back that didn't get called on the Seahawks. That being said and done, they earned the victory. Congratulations. They certainly have every opportunity to beat the Bears. The Chiefs, well, they just didn't show up yesterday. I hate to say I called it, but I said he didn't want a quarterback whose last postseason game was in high school.
Yeah, Josh, you did say that. And we are going to go ahead and take some callers today on the balance. So if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call and give us your input on the calling on the playoff weekends or anything related with sports, we'd love to talk with you. Our number is 917-889-8516. Feel free to do that. Also, you can find us on Facebook, search The Balance. Of course, we're always right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can download the entire show on iTunes there. And Josh, sounds like you're walking around the house there.
I had to let my dog back inside.
Oh, okay. The Basset Hounds, huh? You had to let the hounds back in the house. I understand. I've heard those hounds bark before. So, we want to keep them inside to where they're not barking. All right, Josh. Totally just joking with you there. But what a recap it was. What a weekend it was for football. And moving forward. What do we have to look forward to? Obviously, the Jets and the Patriots and the Steelers and the Ravens. The matchups get a little bit tighter, a little bit tougher. And then you have the Seahawks and the Bears, and you have the Packers and the Falcons that are going to be coming up very soon this weekend to do battle. So, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts, if you look at the final four in the AFC and the final four in the NFC, the AFC is going to be way harder, which means one of two things is going to happen. That team's either going to easily win the Super Bowl, or they're going to get beat up so much on the way to the Super Bowl, they're going to be flat and unable to win the Super Bowl. But one would assume that the Super Bowl champion's going to come from the AFC based just on the final four in each conference.
Okay. Well, and we'll see how that plays out. I mean, really, I stick with my pick for the Super Bowl, and that's the Patriots and the Falcons, and the Patriots will probably beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl. But we're going to have a very, very extended balanced broadcast on Super Bowl Sunday, and we're going to be breaking down the Super Bowl in great detail and all the storylines behind it there. So, we'd like to hear your thoughts on the playoffs this weekend. You can give us a call, 917-889-8516. So glad that you've joined us here on Blog Talk Radio. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. You can also find us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. You can also find us on Facebook, just search The Balance on Twitter, T-Balance, and of course, send us an email anytime at tbalance@ymail.com. It's been a great weekend of sports. Again, the show is 100% dedicated to the tragedy in Tucson, where those lives were needlessly taken, and we are 100% dedicating the show, the wrap-up today, to those victims. Now we're moving right along here, Josh. We're a little bit ahead of schedule, but that's okay. We've got the national championship game tonight. So real quickly, what I want to do is thanks to our friends over at CBS Sports for providing us with this this soundbite about how good is Oregon, and on the flip side, we're going to talk about the national championship game.
Let's start out with the Ducks. Now, you've worked in Oklahoma, and you've worked in Arkansas, and you've seen a lot of really good teams. But have you ever seen anybody quite like Oregon in 2010?
Well, no, not quite like them, but they remind me a little bit of the 2000 Oklahoma team. Bob Stoops has had much more talented teams, but that's his only national title team, and that maybe reminds me a little bit about these guys. They're fast and they're physical, and they maybe don't have the NFL prospect that you would expect to see in a BCS title game. In fact, they don't, but there's something about them that has gotten them to this point.
Now, George, give me a sense of how this team evolved. You know, Chip Kelly takes over from Mike Bellotti. We're not quite sure what the program's going to be, but it seems like Chip Kelly has taken this program up a notch.
Yeah, I think he has. I mean, first of all, sort of one of the stories that's not getting told is that Mike Bellotti got them close to this point, and in 07 they were very close if Dennis Dixon doesn't go down. But Chip Kelly has changed just about everything. They practice in the mornings. They practice at a breakneck pace I don't think anybody else practices at. And he just does things differently. You know, they play music the entire time, and everything they do is just like Chip Kelly. He lives fast. They work and practice and play fast, and it's a different program than it was when Mike Bellotti left.
Interesting. Well, you know, LaMichael James announced a little while ago, gave everybody a Christmas present, that he is coming back. As well as James has played, were you surprised by that?
I don't think so. I think the average fan probably was. But he was, you know, he's a small back. I think he projects as a third down back, and if he wants to be an every down back, he probably needs to show some more. And I think he will benefit by coming back for his junior season. He's a third-year sophomore.
Now, when Jeremiah Masoli got kicked off the team, we wondered how that was going to impact Oregon. Darren Thomas has stepped in, you know, and played well. He runs this offense very efficiently. Did you feel like Darren Thomas was going to play that well? And he really seems to be a key in this game for Monday night.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody knew he was going to play this well. When Masoli was suspended and dismissed, I think people just looked for a caretaker and thought they had a pretty good team around him. As it turns out, he's been a playmaker. He's not fazed by anything, and I think that's the biggest thing with Darren Thomas. But on the other end, he hasn't been quite as good or wasn't quite as good in the last couple, three games as he was in midseason. It'll be interesting to see how he plays on the biggest stage, you know, maybe he'll ever play on.
Right. Now, we know about Oregon. We know they're fast. They like to play fast. They like to run 80-plus plays a game when they can. As a guy who's seen them a lot, what's something important that we don't know about Oregon?
You know, their defense is probably better than most people think. The stats don't necessarily show that. They're on the field a lot. They play a lot of plays. They give up some points and some yards, but they make an awful lot of plays.
As you break down this game, lots of numbers, I understand all that, but in your mind, George, what are the keys to this game, especially for Oregon?
Well, stop Cam Newton. I think that's the key, but nobody does that. So I think more important for Oregon is that its offense clicks, that they get a fast start, which they don't always do, and then that they click. We've all seen them pile up lots and lots of points. In the last few games, they probably weren't running on all cylinders. They were not as healthy. They were banged up. They're healthy again, and they'll need a big offensive performance. If we see that out of them, we could be in for one of the better shootouts we've seen in the BCS title game.
All right. Thanks, guys, over at CBS Sports for providing us with that outlook on tonight's BCS title game. Well, Josh, it's finally here. The BCS championship game, the game above all games, the bowl game we've all been waiting for, the granddaddy, or I won't call it the granddaddy, that would be the Rose Bowl, but the championship game. The Super Bowl of the NCAA football, the Oregon Ducks and the Auburn Tigers. What's going to happen tonight in that game? What do we got to watch for? What are the keys to the wins for whoever wins the loss? And who are you picking on this game, Josh?
The keys is which team gets out to a faster start. If Oregon can get out to a quick 14-0 start, I don't and continue that pace, I don't think Auburn is the type of team that could rally against a team that could score as quick as Oregon. Granted, they were down 24-0 to Alabama, but Alabama can't score as fast as Oregon. Cam Newton's going to have to put aside all the distractions. He's going to have to prove to everybody he really is the best player in college football. He's going to have to create with his arms, his feet. I don't see Auburn being able to play 60 minutes with the Ducks of Oregon. I know mainstream media and most college football fans will tell you that Auburn should win quite handily. I think Oregon is just so sick and tired of every day for 35 days, 24 hours a day. No matter what sports site you're on, what sports channel, what newspaper you pick up, magazine, everybody's picking Auburn. Everybody says Oregon can't play with Auburn. Everybody says Auburn's too good. I think Oregon is, every player on that team is going to be able to play the best game of football they've ever played. And for Oregon, it really is personal. They're tired of being disrespected for 35 days. And I'm going to pick Oregon to win 38-28.
Well, and that's a good outlook on the BCS National Championship game. Here's the thing. I'm going to be a part of that mainstream. I think that Auburn can beat the Ducks. I think that it's not going to be a pushover. The Ducks have earned the right to be in the National Championship game, and we've talked about it right here on the balance before, and that is that they have to be able to they got it right. I think that I guess that's what I'm trying to say is that the BCS got it right this year. Although I'm not a big fan of the BCS bowl system, I do believe that they did get it right. Now that said, I certainly think that there are some three key things that Auburn has to do in this matchup tonight with Oregon in the Tostitos BCS National Championship game. One, Auburn has to dictate the flow of the game, Josh. The opening of this game ought to be fascinating as the two teams try to feel each other out. But right away, Auburn's veteran offense line needs to establish itself, and they need to control the flow of the game. The Tigers need to establish that they can run the ball, and they want to. Whether it's Cam Newton, Mike Dyer, or anybody else, there are going to be some big plays in this game on both sides. That's a given. But this is one of those games where long drives will be a premium for Auburn, which they do very well. That goes into their favor. So if they can control the flow of the game, that's a big factor. Another thing, they're going to have to make the Ducks earn the championship. The Ducks have earned the right to be there, but they haven't earned the championship. And just because you're there doesn't give you the right to be the championship. And the way Oregon has overwhelmed teams this season is by scoring quickly. And there again, going back to what I was saying, if Auburn can stop the score quickly and keep up pace with Oregon, Oregon has to keep up pace into the second half, like you said. And I know that they have enough oomph in them to make it happen, but we will see. They're a good team, and they've just got to manage the clock well, and they've got to stay right play by play. And play a full game against the Auburn Tigers. And what the Tigers have to stay away from is allowing big score plays, which Oregon can do. Whether that's on the offense or special teams, they need to make the Ducks go the distance and not give up anything easy, which includes any defensive touchdowns by the Oregon Ducks. And Auburn has to win in the fourth quarter. And it's been one of those things. Auburn has done its best all season long, but the same goes for Oregon. The number one turnover or one key defense could stop and make the entire difference on this game. It's going to be a close game. Neither one of these teams is ever out of it. And they both have ability to come back from large deficits and win the game. The team that wins in the fourth quarter is going to win the game. And I just think ultimately the Auburn Tigers have enough weapons to make that happen. I'm going to pick them 21-17. It's going to be a nail biter. It's going to come down to the last few seconds of the game, Josh.
And those are certainly all valid points. But Oregon has the better defense. Auburn's given up 40, 50 points several times in the Southeastern Conference. Oregon averages almost a point a minute. But more than that, I think tonight you're going to see something that's very rare in sports. Tonight you could throw all the stats out the window. Tonight for Oregon, it's not about Auburn. It's not about stats. It's not about who teams have or haven't beaten. Tonight is Oregon's chance to do what New Orleans did. I have a feeling that at the end of the day, this quote-unquote, as the media likes to call them, football gods, are going to be in Oregon's corner. And no matter if Auburn plays the perfect game, it's not going to matter. This is Oregon's championship to win, and if Auburn wants it, they're going to have to take it from them.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, tonight, the BCS title game, the championship, the national championship game, somebody's going to walk away with that national trophy, national championship trophy, and it's going to be a good game, and it's the national title game, and it doesn't have your traditional powerhouse teams in there this year, and so. I don't have an argument that the championship doesn't belong to either one of these teams. In fact, whoever wins tonight, Josh, is going to earn it, and whoever gets it tonight is somebody that truly deserved it. Both teams deserve to be there. Both teams have played extraordinarily good football throughout the season, and they meet in the national championship tonight. Only one of them is going to be victorious. I think it's a very, very tight fit, and it's going to be a tight game. It's going to be a close game against the Oregon Ducks and the Auburn Tigers. We're talking a little bit about the Oregon Ducks. I was kind of giving you some keys on what Auburn has to do to beat the Ducks. But on the same time, the Ducks can absolutely if they do the things right to make it happen, then they also can come back to do it. But I think this is going to be Cam Newton's show. His brilliance on the field and all the controversy surrounding him off the field captivated the college football this season, and the Auburn junior quarterback won the Heisman Trophy by putting up outrageous numbers this season. And we may never see those kind of numbers again. He accounted for 49 touchdowns, 28 passings, 20 rushes, and one receiving. Outside of the fact that maybe he did or did not deserve the Heisman Trophy, he was the winner of the Heisman Trophy, and history will write that lesson whether or not he has to get that trophy back. But for the moment, tonight it's going to be the Auburn Tigers, and it's Cam Newton's show tonight. And if he comes out there and plays Cam Newton football, it's going to be a game that Auburn can walk away with the championship. And I wouldn't say that Auburn has the greatest defense out there, but the Tigers have a way of making great defensive plays. And I think this is going to be a classic BCS national championship game that really probably rises to the level of what Texas and USC gave us back in 2005, if y'all remember that game. These two teams have the offensive firepower to score at will, which means you need to listen up the necktie before sitting down there, because tonight, Josh, it's going to be a good game between two good teams and great players. Marquee talents like LaMichael James and Nick Fairley, Cliff Harris, and Newton, of course, all will be a part of tonight's show. Tonight's show is the Auburn Tigers and the Oregon Ducks and the BCS National Championship game. You can watch it live on ESPN, and of course, listen to it on ESPN Radio. And we'll break it down tomorrow on the wrap up. Do you have any more final thoughts for the championship game tonight, Josh?
No, I think it should be a good game, but I think we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. It appears that Tom's having some technical difficulty with his mic, and we can't really understand what you're saying.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Okay, and welcome back to The Bounce. Josh, can you hear me better now?
A little bit.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. Well, are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, you're still breaking up pretty bad, but we can hear you when you're not.
All right, well, just go ahead. What we're going to do here, guys, we're going to go ahead and run the Daily Zap. And, Josh, on the other side of the Daily Zap, take lead and take us out of it and wrap us up on the NBA. And I'll just get my mic fixed here in the meantime.
Okay.
Seven games of Sunday hoops hop on board for the Express Tour through the league, known simply as the Daily Zap. Golden State in L.A. taking on the Clippers. First two games in Staples on the day. And, hey, Blake Griffin, another double-double. That's 23 straight, and that is a franchise record. Eric Gordon, 25 points, led the Clippers. Sacramento on the road in Toronto. Knocking down jump shots is Beno Udrich. That's a triple. How about Jose Calderon sharing with this man, Andrea Bargnani, who led the way for the Raptors with 30 points on the night. Toronto gets the win. Final score, 118-112. Spurs hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. They came in having won 14 in a row against Minnesota. They extend that streak today. How about the power move from Antonio McDyess there? They win this one by three. Your final, 94-91 over the Timberwolves. Phoenix and Cleveland, both teams looking for a win. How about J.J. Hickman climbing the ladder on Robin Lopez? No problem, though, for Steve Nash, who had a huge game. 20 points, 17 assists, and 7 big rebounds. The Suns break out of a losing streak. They win it 108-100. The Denver Nuggets hosting the New Orleans Hornets with trade rumors swirling around their team. It may have affected Denver's play. It didn't affect New Orleans' play. Chris Paul dialing up a three. He had 20 points. New Orleans on the road in Denver wins this one by 9, 96-87. The Heat have lost one game since November. Yes, since November, but how about LaMarcus Aldridge putting up a tough fight tonight? This one went into overtime, and that man right there, LeBron James, delivered. 44 points, that's the season high, plus 13 rebounds. The Heat win it by 7, 107-100. The late game, it's the Lakers hosting the Knicks. It's a big game now. The Knicks much better team. Pau Gasol with the tough layup there. Kobe Bryant, smooth as ever, laces that jump shot. And the Lakers win this one by 22, 109-87.
I'd like to go ahead and thank our friends over at NBA TV for preparing that daily set for us once again. The Indiana Pacers are off until Wednesday when they play the Dallas Mavericks. The Indiana Pacers are now 14-20. And what was once a promising season is quickly fading. All right, NBA fans, there's a huge trade on the horizon. It's just about complete. All that needs to happen is for somebody to agree to take Al Harrington, whether that be New Jersey or Detroit, and for Carmelo Anthony to sign a piece of paper. And as soon as those two things are done, the New Jersey Nets will be much improved, as they will acquire Richard Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, Carmelo Anthony, Sheldon Williams, Tarico Wright, and more than likely Al Harrington. That's almost a complete new starting five. Denver will get two first-round picks, Derek Favors, a promising young rookie, former All-Star point guard Devin Harris, Anthony Morrow, Quentin Ross, Ben Uzo, and Stephen Graham. The Detroit Pistons will get center Johan Petro and Troy Murphy, who has a $17 million contract that comes off the books at the end of this season. Breaking down some games from last night in a bit more detail, the Spurs 94 and the Timberwolves 91. Manu Ginobili, quite possibly the MVP of the NBA, had 21 points last night, including 14 in the second quarter. Kevin Love, a great center who doesn't get much national love because he plays for the 90-29 Timberwolves, had 18 points and 17 boards. The Spurs improved to 31-6, and the Timberwolves fall to 90-29. The Suns 108, Cleveland 100. Steve Nash had a huge game with 20 points, 17 assists, and 7 rebounds. And J.J. Hickson, the man who's being asked to fill in and replace LeBron James, had 13 points and 7 rebounds. The Cleveland Cavaliers have lost their starting center, Anderson Varejao, for the season with a foot injury. The Suns improved to 15-20, and the Cavs fall to 8-29. The Hornets 96, the Nuggets 87. Carmelo Anthony, I don't know if he's quit on the Nuggets, if the pressure of knowing he's about to get traded is getting to him. He only had 8 points. Former Pacer Al Harrington had 20 points. Chris Paul had 20 for the Hornets, and David West had 19 for New Orleans. The Hornets went 20 of 21 from the free throw line. They improved to 22-16, and Denver falls to 20-16. Miami 107, Portland 100. As you heard on the dailies, that the Heat have only lost one time since the month of November. LeBron James had a season high of 44 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists. His sidekick, Dwayne Wade, had 34 points and 8 rebounds. It's not fair when those two have it going. Not very many teams play with the Heat when those two have it going. For Portland, the Marcus Aldridge had 31 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists. That's Miami's 13th straight road win. They improved to 30-9, and Portland falls to 20-18. The Lakers have it together as they beat the Knicks last night 109-87. And a very physical, hard-fought, scrappy, lots of pushing and shoving, a couple of ejections. Kobe Bryant had 27 for the Lakers. Andrew Bynum had 18 points and 7 rebounds. He was ejected in the fourth quarter. Amari Stoudemire had another strong game for the New York Knicks with 23 points. That's the Lakers' fourth straight win as they improved to 27-11, and the Knicks fall to 21-15. That's your NBA wrap-up for today. Are you with us, Tom?
I am with you. Can you hear me now, Josh?
Crystal clear.
All right. Well, appreciate the patience of our listeners. Again, I was just breaking down the national championship game, so we should be back on track now. Real quickly, though, Josh, and you may have mentioned this when I was fixing the mic, but if you could, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It sounded like I was losing you now. Okay. Did you break down the Pacers and the Hawks game? The Pacers just can't seem to get things together. Disappointing loss against the Spurs. They stayed right there with a great team that the Spurs are. And then again, lost to the Hawks. But did you happen to break that game down?
Unfortunately not. I was hoping you could. I was at Lucas, so I didn't get to see any of that game. I just happened to know what the final score is.
Well, it was a disappointing loss. I did not get a chance to watch it. I don't have any of the notes here with me, so we'll try to get that back on track. Well, speaking of basketball, we'll move right on over here to the NCAA men's basketball. Boy, IU cannot get it together this year. They haven't won anything in their conference yet in the Big Ten conference. What is going on with IU, and what else is going on in the NCAA men's basketball, Josh?
Well, one interesting stat, and I guess my new nickname from Tom is Stat Boy. Every Division I basketball team in the state of Indiana is at least 500, and there's only two teams that don't have winning records. IU being Evansville and Ball State. They're both 500, and IU's on the way to being 9-9. But yesterday, Northwestern 93, IU 81. John Cherna had a great game for the Wildcats with 24 points. Christian Watford had 17 for the Hoosiers, all in the second half. Freshman Victor Oladipo had 13 points. Northwestern led by as many as 24. I don't know. There's something missing for the Hoosiers. They're either not mentally tough. And I understand Tom Crean has a few years to get this turned around. He's showing he can bring recruits to IU. And as a Hoosier fan, I'm happy. Now it's time to show you can win. If all you can do is bring recruits, that's fine. We can go get a head coach who can win and get recruits. So maybe not this year, but definitely next year. It's time for Tom Crean to win at Indiana, or it may be time for the Hoosiers to think about a coaching change. But in top 25 action yesterday, number 7 Villanova handed number 25 Cincinnati their first loss, 72-61. Corey Fisher had 21 for the Villanova Wildcats, including 20 in the first half. Malik Wyatt had 15 for Villanova, 13 in the second half. Rashard Bishop had 14 points for the Cincinnati Bearcats. That's Villanova's 45th straight win at home. Villanova's 14-1, 3-0 in the Big East. Cincinnati falls to 15-1, 2-1 in the Big East. Number 2 Ohio State survived a scare from number 21 Minnesota, 67-64. David Leidy had 19 for the Buckeyes. Freshman Jared Solinger, probably the best player in college basketball, had 15 points and 12 rebounds. Trevor Mbakwe for the Gophers had 16 points, 12 rebounds. Minnesota missed a three-pointer to tie it in the final seconds. The Buckeyes improved to 16-0 and 3-0. Minnesota falls to 12-4, 1-3 in the Big Ten. My team to win it all this year in college basketball. Number 10, Purdue, 75, beat Iowa. Iowa, 52. Ryan Smith had 18 for the Boilers, including a career-high 6 threes. Johnson had 16 points and 4 rebounds. Gaten's had 13 points for the Hawkeyes. Iowa was never really in this game. Purdue got out to a big lead in the first half, and they kept it all the way through. The closest Iowa got in the second half was 19. Purdue's won 10 straight. They're 15-1, 4-0 in the Big Ten. Iowa falls to 7-8 and 0-3. Kansas beat Michigan 67-60 in overtime. Marcus Morris had 22 points for Kansas. Freshman Tim Hardaway Jr. had 19 for Michigan. Michigan never had the lead, although they forced the game into overtime. Kansas is 15-0, looking like a Final Four team. Michigan's 11-5, much improved. Duke survived the scare from Maryland, 71-64. Singler had 25 points and 10 rebounds. Duke led 67-62 at the minute, 25 to play. Duke improves to 15-0, 2-0 in the ACC. Maryland falls 10-5, 0-2. Louisville, 86, Southern Florida, 77, and Butler beat Youngstown State 84-79. Shelvin Mack had 28, Matt Howard had 26 for the Bulldogs. Blake Allen had 17 for Youngstown State. With 12 minutes to go, Youngstown State was up 61-53. Butler improves to 12-5, 4-1 in the Horizon. And Youngstown State falls to 6-9, 1-5 in the Horizon. And that's your college basketball wrap-up for today.
All right, and thanks there, Josh. So glad that you're along to bring us the updates as well. IUPUI and IPFW both are having very good seasons there over there in the Summit League. So I want to make sure we point that out. And also working with getting Greg Straw on the air with us on Saturday. He was busy traveling and stuff and trying to get some stuff with the other media obligations that he has on Saturday. I did talk with him, and he did apologize for not being able to join us on the balance this past Saturday. But we will have do everything in our power to have him on this Saturday, and we'll talk some IUPUI basketball, and of course we'll talk some NFL and other sports with him. Greg Straw, a very, very knowledgeable person here in the Indianapolis local market when it comes to sports. Well, guys, this is the wrap-up. My name's Tom. Right alongside me, as usual, is my honored and bestowed stat boy, $2 bill, Josh. You can catch his blog on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. He has his power rankings and opinions on there as well under $2 Bill Thoughts. Also, you can catch us on YouTube. We've got our own YouTube channel. Just search The Balance. Everything The Balance will take you right to us. Just we're the silver microphones with the headset. Also, Twitter, T-Balance, and you can send us an email anytime, tbalance@ymail.com. Just got a few minutes left here in the wrap-up. If you got any final thoughts for us, give us a call, 917-889-8516. So glad that you've joined us right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are dedicating this entire show to the victims of the Tucson shooting. A very sad situation that happened over the weekend, and needless deaths and lives were taken, and a 9-year-old girl that death was just absolutely useless when it comes to that. And I don't know if you remember, Josh, when I was talking a little bit about the shootings and the relationship that the little girl had to just the world of sports, and just kind of she had some she was related to a Dodger scout, and just comes from a strong baseball family. And also, we want to point out that the national championship game also is being played there in Arizona, and they're going to be taking a moment of silence and taking time to honor the victims there in tonight's game. And again, you can catch that right here. I mean, catch the show, the game on ESPN Live. So good to have you along today. We've had a lot to cover. Been a good weekend for sports. We recap some football, some basketball. This is the wrap up, a production of The Balance, right here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Well, Josh, what's going on with your Penguins tonight? They hit the ice against Boston. And so I know you're a big Penguins fan. It's kind of been a rough stretch for them here in the last few days, and it's made it. Of course, Crosby's been hurt, and so it's been a difficult time for him. The Boston Bruins are having a tough run of their own, so it should be a good game. And the Penguins get a third chance to fill a scoring void left by Crosby's absence when they host the Bruins tonight on the first of the two meetings in less than a week. Pittsburgh comes in 26-13-4, and it's 5-5-2 since winning 12 games in a row. The Penguins' task of reversing their current struggles, which include a 1-2-2 run in their last five games, has become tougher since Crosby has been ruled out in the last four games with a concussion. Crosby, who was initially hurt on a hit during a 3-1 loss to Washington in the Winter Classic on January 1st, leads the league with 32 goals, 66 points, and his absence is certainly being felt in a big way there in Penguin Land there, Josh. Again, we want to make sure that we cover all sports, and we cover the NHL, the NBA, the NCAA, football, NFL, both college and pro, and we also will be covering in great detail women's basketball, and we're going to be certainly doing a lot here come April with the women's Final Four that'll be right here in Indianapolis. Also over on the ice tonight, Phoenix and the Blues. Phoenix and St. Louis, they hit the ice at 9 o'clock Eastern. The Blues are playing some good hockey, and certainly one of my personal favorites to watch. I like the St. Louis Blues, and I think that they are starting to put a string of wins together that'll be good for them moving on down the season as well. Again, this is The Balance wrap up. We do this every day. Myself and $2 Bill Josh, we wrap you up, and you can never be without knowledge here on The Balance. Again, we're dedicating this show completely to the victims of the Tucson shooting, and we were privileged to honor them at the very beginning of the show today, and we certainly will continue to remember them and the families, and wish a speedy recovery to Congressman Woman Guilford. So, Josh, any thoughts on any hockey thoughts that you may have right now? I'm trying to get my notes back up. I apologize. It went blank on me. A blank screen is not good.
No, just the Penguins need Sidney Crosby back. Going back to the NFL for just a second, if I can. The Broncos are expected to name John Fox their head coach sometime before Wednesday, and Stanford is expected to reach an agreement with Chris Peterson from Boise State to be their next head coach, and they stuck it to Michigan again because reports were Michigan was interested in Chris Peterson, and Jim Harbaugh from Stanford stuck it to Michigan and picked the 49ers. What a rough week to be a Wolverines fan.
I hear you. Well, I do have my notes back up here with hockey. I apologize for that. My site went down here. Not really sure what that happened, but we certainly made sure that Boston and Pittsburgh are playing tonight. And I was just getting ready to break down a little bit about the Phoenix St. Louis game, and it's the Coyotes and the Blues, and certainly this is the third of the four meetings between the teams. They've split the two games. Phoenix earned a 5-3 win at the JoeBing.com arena before the Blues got even on New Year's Eve with a 4-3 victory out there at Scott Trade Center. The big story between these two teams is two big points in the Western Conference playoff race are on the line between a pair of teams. Currently, on the outside looking in, just one point separates the Coyotes and the Blues in the standings, but fifth and 12th place are in the West, separated by 2 points. So, like I said, going to be a good game. Also over there tonight is Detroit Red Wings. And Colorado, they are set for a final showdown. This is the fourth and final meeting between these Western Conference rivals. Colorado won the first meeting 5-4 in a shootout, and Detroit took the next two games with a 3-1 decision on November 13th and a 4-3 overtime victory on December 27th. Cronwell notched the game winner in overtime in their last meeting at the Pepsi Center. Now, the big story between these two teams is after the midway point in the season, the question is, can anyone stop the Detroit Red Wings? Despite injuries and four key players, Detroit has won six of the last eight games, including a key victory Saturday night. Colorado, meanwhile, has dropped four of its past five contests and still sits in fifth place in the West and will be looking for two or more points on Monday against their fierce rival, the Detroit Red Wings. And they are ready to go. And then the late game tonight, Toronto Maple Leafs and the Kings set to play each other. They don't play each other very much. This is the only meeting of the season for Toronto and L.A. The Kings took the only game with the Maple Leafs a year ago, picking up a 5-3 win at the Air Canada Center on January 26, 2010. Now, the big story between these two is with their longest losing streak of the season over and one of the young guns freshly inked for the long term, The Kings seem primed to go on a run and a climb, so we'll see what happens there. Now, Josh, we're going right into the two-minute warning real quickly. Take us through the two-minute warning.
Make sure you tune in to ESPN at 8 o'clock tonight for the BCS National Title Game. And I want to give a shout-out to my alma mater, the Ben Davis Lady Giants, who have now won 74 consecutive high school girls basketball games.
All righty. Well, my name's Tom. It's been great being along with you today. Keep in mind that this show was 100% dedicated to the shooting victims in Tucson. And again, we've got a good week of sports preparation to do for you. And every day you will be wrapped up right here on The Balance. For Monday, January 10th, 2011, you are wrapped up.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a b, didn't you?
That's all, folks.